Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest and I felt outraged.
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're going to be looking at a tight window of time tonight from 1555 to 1558. That little window of time when Bloody Mary led her reign of terror in England. And the men that we're going to look at tonight, I think, will inspire you, will encourage you, as they held fast in their faith for the Lord Jesus Christ in very difficult times. And I think we need to study these men, because our country and our culture is changing by the day. And we are going to find ourselves, I think, one day very soon, right where these Marian martyrs found themselves, in a hostile culture as they held fast to their belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio. It is Reformation Week. Now, look, I know Hallmark, they did not designate the entire week to Reformation Day, but we're gonna, hey, that's our truth. You cannot question our truth. Let us enjoy Dr. Steve Lawson take us on a tour of Reformation Week. The Protestant Reformation was more than Martin Luther nailing 95 theses to the door. Sure, we're going to focus on that on that particular day, but we're also going to take a look at a different time in history, post-Martin Luther, the reign of Bloody Mary, the Marian martyrs. There are hundreds of them, men, women, children, and knowing their stories will steal you. I mean, you know, it won't, like, take you away. Yeah. No, it'll steal, like make you, give you an iron backbone is what it's going to give you. It will gird you up so that you are willing to defend the truth no matter what the cost. If we think that some of the name-calling that we experience, whether it's on TV, on the internet, and I'm just talking amongst Christians, if you think that some of the name-calling that goes on by the world against God's people is bad today, it could get a lot worse. And we would do well to remember what others went through so that you and I can have the truth, because we might be staring at another era where Christians are not smiled upon in Western civilization. Furthermore, this will steel you to defend the truth against the onslaught of silliness that we see in evangelical Christianity. The perpetual watering down of doctrines, the low view of God's word, the lack of belief in sufficiency of Scripture, the wacky zaniness, that's right, zaniness, that goes on inside of the evangelical church on Sunday mornings. That shouldn't be silly time. That should be a time when God's people come together to worship God in the way that He wants. Speaking of which, didn't realize I was going to have to limber up before the program. Would like to take you to a not very often studied book in the Bible. It's the book of Ezra, and this is a place where we can actually see God's view of worship and how we're supposed to be worshiping in the church. Ezra chapter 7. If you recall, the Jews have been naughty. And by the way, we're going to get to the Marian martyrs. But my truth right now is that we're going to take a detour. And as long as it's my truth, who are you to judge? Oh, what a world.
Is that a rule of talk show hosts?
No, it's the rule of our culture. Whatever you believe is true, who am I to argue? If you think that you're a polka-dotted elephant, then that's congratulations. That's what you are these days. Ezra chapter 7, you recall, the Jews, they were disobedient to the Mosaic covenant. God was good on his promise, Deuteronomy 28. If you obey, I will bless you. If you don't, I will curse you. What does God do? He holds to his word by using the Babylonians to take the Jews into captivity. Now, along comes a leader named Artaxerxes who had a different understanding, a different way of dealing with those that he had conquered. There were rulers who believed you just squash them, either wipe them out, you take the stuff that you want, or you take them into captivity, or you rule them and you impose your culture on them. Or, according to Artaxerxes, a better way to do it would be to let them go about their religious beliefs, their cultural preferences, so that they're happy, they don't rise up against you, and potentially their God will not come against you. And so it is we see in Ezra chapter 7 that a man named Ezra requested of Artaxerxes to go back to Jerusalem. This is a fascinating section of scripture. This was part of this was our Sunday sermon. Prepare to learn something from the Old Testament. I know! Some would say we should unhitch it. Now, after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, now hang in there for this. It's a little bit of a boring section of scripture on the surface. It's a genealogy. Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Meriath, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Uzi, the son of Buki, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. What is this in here for? It's to tell us the lineage of Ezra, that he is a man who is qualified to be a priest. He is qualified by virtue of his lineage to do religious things. He has backing. That's why that's in there. That continues. This Ezra came up from Babylon, and he was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. So he was studied, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God. Now, this is why. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. We can actually learn from that today. We can actually learn from that verse. Why was God pleased with Ezra? Why did God grant his request for the king to release the Jews? It's right there in verse 10. For Ezra had, one, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. He studied about God. But look at step two. And did it. So it's not just learning it. It's being obedient and being ruled by it. And to teach statutes. And then three, to teach it to others. It's not just to keep it stored up in your heart and not share it with anybody. That pleases God. Not just learning, but learning to do it. And then so you can share it with other people because you can't contain it. That's why God answered the prayer of Ezra. There's something to be learned for us. Nevertheless, this is the copy of the letter of King Artaxerxes gave to Ezra the priest, the scribe. Basically, he says, I'm issuing a decree. You can go back, take the silver and gold that we've gathered for you to Jerusalem, offer it up. Be careful, buy money with this money to buy bulls and rams. Do your sacrifice business. And whatever seems good to you and your brethren, do with the rest of the silver and gold, and also with the articles given to you. I decree this. He then states, interestingly, the priests there are going to be tax-free. They're not going to have to pay taxes. Blessed be the... But then he continues. This is way down to verse 24. And we inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinim, or servants of the house of God. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death or banishment or confiscation of goods or imprisonment. In other words, God sent Ezra, courtesy of King Artaxerxes, to go to Jerusalem and investigate. You check it out. Do a thorough search. How are they? Are they worshiping rightly? God put this on the heart of Artaxerxes. And if they're not, with God's word as an authorized scribe who has backing of a lineage, studying, and the king, judge how they're doing in worship. Judge it. And if they're not doing it right, guess what you can do? You can kill them. You can banish them. You can imprison them. Why? Because God wants worship done the way that God has determined it. In the laws of Moses for the Old Testament Jews, this is how you do it. I'm serious about it. What's the lesson we can learn from this? God is serious about worship, and we should strive in the New Testament era to determine not how we want to do worship, but how God wants to do worship. And he's so serious about it. In the Old Testament, you could be killed if you didn't do it right. That principle carries forward today. We should strive not to worship the way that we like it, but the way that he likes it. We'll get to the Marian Martyrs next on Wretched Radio.
Well, Geneva was married, but in her 20s, she had a one-year-old daughter at home that would interfere with her plans to go back to school, and so she was hoping she wasn't pregnant, but she was. I asked her how she felt about her pregnancy. She said, I don't want it, and my husband doesn't want it. She agreed to do an ultrasound, and she didn't want to take any pictures of the ultrasound, but she did look at it for a long time. And so we put it in the file, and then we started walking out of the clinic with her, and she turns to the nurse, and she says, do you have any referrals for medical providers? And I said, yeah, we've got a good doctor. You can go see him. Well, she went to him, and she chose life.
Ultrasounds save lives. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org, providing free ultrasounds, and presenting the gospel to moms and dads, $28 per ultrasound. How many could you support each month? Please support Preborn at preborn.org/wretched.
So, what do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. What?
A fsh. Get it? A fsh. Because there are no eyes?
Oh.
Our newest evangelistic booklet is titled, Are You a Rotten Fish? While there aren't any amazing jokes like that in it, it does provide a thorough presentation on true and false conversions. Jesus preached on the subject of true and false conversions with the parables about wheat and tares, wise and foolish virgins, good fish, and rotten fish. Are You a Rotten Fish compares and contrasts the true gospel versus false gospels, the correct gospel response of repentance and faith versus incorrect responses like asking Jesus into your heart. All you have to do is hop on your computer or your phone and visit wretched.org/fish and order your copies. That's fish with an I. So who do you know who might be a rotten fish? Order your copies at wretched.org/fish today. wretched.org/fish.
Tempted, but I'm not gonna do it.
Some churches in the rural areas in Zimbabwe, you get to a church with about 200 members. You only find one person with one Bible.
So tempted to say, you know, for just the cost of a cup of coffee, but I'm not gonna do that. But we could change that statistic. There are churches all over the globe, 200 people attending a church with one Bible. $5 will purchase a new Bible for a believer. Bible League International, historically proficient, sound, reliable. Let's get some Bibles into the hands of believers so they don't have to be sharing paragraphs until the next service. Please support Bible League International. Wretched.org/Bible.
Sometimes simple is best. The Mission Ball is simply a soccer ball covered with biblical text, a thorough, long gospel presentation, and an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim Christ. With your support, the Mission Ball can get into the hands of more lost and dying souls. Go to themissionball.org. That's themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. Esther is the story of a Jewish woman who becomes queen of Persia. After a plot to destroy the Jews is uncovered, Esther risks her life to save her people. She appeals to the king, who kills the conspirators and allows the Jews to defend themselves. When you face persecution, remember God is able to save his people through all kinds of circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just push the button, Friel. Just push the button. This is Wretched Radio. It's Reformation Week. And at this pace, we should get through. Ooh, we're going to need to. Well, we're pretty much going to need the rest of the calendar year. Let's get to Steve Lawson talking about the Marian martyrs. Who's Marian? Queen Mary. Bloody Mary. She's more than an adult beverage. She's downright nasty. And we need to learn our Protestant heritage to steal us for two purposes. One, a willingness to defend the truth amongst the brethren. And two, to steal us to be prepared should we get persecuted the way that Mary persecuted the church.
Mary the First was the daughter of Henry the Eighth and his first wife, Catherine of Aragon. And so, Mary was staunchly, strictly Catholic, and she hated Protestants, and she killed Protestants, and she followed her half-brother to the throne. She followed Edward VI, who was the boy king. He assumed the throne of England at age 9 and died at age 15, and he was a strong Protestant. And so the shift in England went from strong Protestant, literally all but overnight, to rabid Catholic. And Mary the First was this rabid Catholic.
Who needs all kinds of steamy scenes when you study the House of Tudor? Henry the Eighth, Roman Catholic, didn't want to remain married to Catherine of Aragon, also Roman Catholic, because she would not give him a son to continue the lineage of Henry VIII. He was. He schemed to get her, well, divorced in kind of a biblical way. So he tried the Pope. Will you give me an annulment? Will you say this marriage was not valid? The Pope said, sorry, no can do. Utilized Thomas Cranmer to get that job done. That's a story for later in Reformation decade here on Wretched Radio. So what does he do? He divorces Catherine of Aragon, and he has now a son named Edward who ascends the throne. The young boy is a Protestant. But here's the problem. There was a baby named Mary from the marriage between, I'm sorry, did I say marriage? I meant the play, because apparently they weren't actually married, of Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon. So the boy king ascends the throne. He dies as a Protestant. Mary then ascends to the throne. Why is she so mad at Protestants? Because it was Protestants who caused the divorce, the annulment of her mother, Catherine of Aragon, which means Catherine of Aragon was never married to Henry VIII, which means that she, Mary, was a bastard child. That was not going down real well with Mary. And so it was, she hated the Protestants that caused that to happen to her mother, to her family. And she went about the business of going after Protestants in any and every way possible.
Mary, J.C. Ryle says, was a papist of papists. Conscientious, zealous, bigoted, and narrow-minded in the extreme. And what she did was she put a stop to all Protestant worship in the entire nation. And she had all Protestants removed from all areas of leadership in the nation. and she had other Protestants who had come from Europe to teach in Cambridge and various places. She had them all removed. And John Knox and John Fox, who wrote Fox's Book of Martyrs, had to flee England because Bloody Mary was called Bloody Mary for a good reason. Because she was an exterminator of those who believed in the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ.
Just as an aside, should you be one of those people who has bought the lie that religion is the source of all wars and all violence? That ain't true. This was a violent era. We need to mark it. We're talking about hundreds of martyrs here. Nevertheless, the Encyclopedia of War states 8% of wars throughout history were religious wars. 75% of those, you can thank the religion of pieces for those wars. 92% of wars, secularists. That was just an aside. Mary did wage religious war.
The advisors around her urged her to take drastic measures against the Protestant leaders in England, and she agreed and issued a royal order to put to death Reformed heretics. And so a special commission was appointed to apprehend and examine the Protestants, and these commissions were given unilateral authority to prosecute and to execute those who were not Catholic in England.
And let's just say their method of doing so wasn't as humane as what we see in our civilization.
What they would do under Mary's regime is if someone would not recant their belief in the true gospel, they would be imprisoned, they would be prosecuted, they would be condemned, they would be marched through the streets of the city where they lived, and for pastors, they would be marched through their parish, through the area where they had ministered and called on their people in an attempt to mock them and to belittle them. They would be marched past their own church. A stake would be put into the ground in front of their church. They would be chained to the stake. They would be set on fire. Gunpowder would be put around their shoulders, and it would literally blow their head off. And they would be blown into so many different pieces that there would be nothing left to bury whatsoever.
I guess you could say it was something in the water that caused rulers to behave so cruelly toward Christians. But maybe it's just something in the heart. And there's nothing different between that era and ours that would lead us to believe that would never happen to us today. It sure could.
Well, during the 4 years of Mary's reign, there were at least 300 Protestant believers who were burned at the stake. And many historians say the number is surely higher than the 300. There were another 100 Protestants who died in the ghastly conditions of prison before they could even be brought to the stake. So there's 400 right there. And they held fast to the faith, and they would not equivocate, but there were a total of 300 approximately who were martyred.
Those are your ancestors. Please note, these men, these women, these children, they died for the truth of God's word. They were not revolutionaries.
They were not burned for some capital criminal offense. They were not put to death for any disobedience to the word of God. They were not martyred for any civil unrest against Mary, Queen Mary the First. Neither were they anarchists who instigated a rebellion against the government. They were not enemies of the good of society. They were not hurting other people or causing any harm to anyone else. They were not thieves. They were not murderers. They were not drunkards. They were not instigators of riots. To the contrary, they were among the finest believers in Jesus Christ in all of England who most promoted the good of all that was decent.
Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Why are Christians persecuted today? Why are Christians looked down on today? Last time I checked, it wasn't for riots, it wasn't for law breaking, it was for holding fast to the truth. As we get tried, perhaps more than ever, and put into a fire, will we bend? Will we break? Perhaps studying our Protestant heritage will steel us to remain strong, even in the face of fire. I know a lot of people are wanting fire these days. Sadly, we might get it if we hold fast to the truth. Let us be encouraged. Our heritage is a bloody heritage of people willing to die for the truth. Question, are we? This is Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The Supreme Court has decided it won't hear the case of Maryland high school student Kaylee Wood, who refused to take part in a school assignment to write the Islamic conversion prayer because it states there is no God but Allah, which directly contradicts her Christian faith. Richard Thompson, president and chief counsel of the Thomas More Law Center, which filed the petition on her behalf, said in a press release, "The schools are promoting Islam over Christianity or any other religion, and you have a double standard, which we think is a violation of the Establishment Clause. Under the pretext of teaching history or social studies, public schools across America are promoting the religion of Islam in ways that would never be tolerated for Christianity or any other religion." I'm not a lawyer and I've never played one on television, but I'm thinking this isn't the last time the Supreme Court will be asked to hear a case like this. Survey says it's looking more and more unlikely for young people who leave church to return when they're older. In a Barna Group research analysis done by an assistant professor of political science at Eastern Illinois University and pastor of First Baptist Church of Mount Vernon, Illinois, Ryan Burge, showed that those born between 1965 and 1984 are much less likely to return to church than those born the generation before. The data, Burge said, should have major implications for the way ministry is done in today's evangelical church, saying many pastors are standing at the pulpit on Sunday morning and seeing fewer and fewer of their former youth group members returning to the pews when they move on into their late 20s and early 30s. According to the Christian Post story, the pastor said no church should assume that this crucial part of the population is going to return to active membership as their parents once did. Burge added that the data is speaking a clear message. The assumptions that undergirded church growth from two decades ago no longer apply. Christianity in general is in a decline across the U.S. In the latest study from the Pew Research Center, it was noted that just 65% of Americans now identify as Christian, compared to 77% just 10 years ago, and the number of people without any religious affiliation at all has jumped to 26%, and the majority of those religiously unaffiliated are among young adults. Maybe we do have to change and go back to the old ways of doing church, you know, preaching the gospel and the like. Burger King, the latest restaurant to tease Chick-fil-A for being closed on Sundays and to face the wrath of their customers. Friday, they posted a very simple tweet, "Open on Sunday," which coincided with Kanye's new Chick-fil-A theme song, "Closed on Sunday." The Chick-fil-A restaurants have been closed since they began in 1946. As you may have guessed, the top comments on Burger King's Twitter feed were from Chick-fil-A fans, one saying, "And Chick-fil-A still outsells Burger King with a 6-day week." They do. Chick-fil-A is ranked number 3 in sales, Burger King number 6. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Friend of Sinners. While we were dead in our sins and condemned as enemies, Jesus bore our sins in himself so we could be reconciled to the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, I think one thing that we learn from history here is how quickly government policies can change.
Ain't that the truth? This is Wretched Radio, studying our Protestant heritage during Reformation decade. Here on Wretched Radio, the Marian martyrs, hundreds of men, women, and children killed, imprisoned, banished for believing what? That you're saved by grace alone, faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, revealed in Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. Mary, when she ascended the throne after her stepbrother, a Protestant, died, she made it her beeswax to go about the business of killing Protestants. Why? Because she believed they were responsible for the shaming of her mother, Catherine of Aragon, a Roman Catholic. So she, a Roman Catholic, loving her mama, decides to purge the nation of as much of this bad Protestant theology as possible. And what we see, by the way, when you study the Tudor dynasty, like a ping pong ball, back and forth it goes. Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, Catholic. There was no guarantee you were going to wake up tomorrow morning and be safe as a believer. Now, did the Protestants do some bad things? Yeah, actually, you know what? There was some of that too. But overwhelmingly, Bloody Mary and the Roman Catholic attacks and assaults and violence against Protestants. Oof, duh. That's right. Oof, duh. Politics can change in a day. We would do well to remember that.
From one administration to the next administration. From one monarch to another monarch. And in our case, from one political leader to another political leader, the religious environment can so quickly change. It's not something that has to take decades and decades and decades to change. It can literally change overnight. And we learn that from this period of time. And it is a lesson for us today. As we find ourselves in an increasingly hostile culture that is so opposed to Christianity and biblical values, we are seeing our nation change before our very eyes.
It is just an election away when it could change radically.
We must be resolved now before this rapid change would take place at mock speed, if that is indeed what happens. But it does not stretch our imagination in the least to see how this can just fall off a cliff so quickly. That's one thing we learned from this. And you and I need to be ready tonight and have our faith in Jesus Christ solidified before tougher times come.
Question, how do you do that? How do you get a more solid faith? Well, it does indeed help to study the Protestant reformers, all of whom were willing to die, most of whom did die for the truth, shedding their blood so that you and I could know about the five solas. That's one way, but I think there's an even more powerful way, and that is through a means, or the means, that God has provided to steel us, to encourage us, to give us confidence, to give us grace to endure in the face of persecution, through his word. Question, is the word sufficient to encourage you enough to not recant when the flames start lapping your legs? Of course it is. So we need to dive into that book and it will feed you, and it will grow you, and it will steal you. And any time you spend focusing on Jesus as revealed in the Word, and it's specifically about Jesus, that's our primary focus in the Word, because he's the one who endured persecution more than anybody, dying the cruelest of cruel deaths more than anybody. You study him. You study the Passion Week. And that will encourage you to stand firm, too, and to recognize, why would I think that if they were willing to do that to God, that they wouldn't be willing to do that to me? And will the one who endured, our sympathetic high priest, will he hold my hand and carry me through this to the other side? And increasingly, as you study him through the Word, through fellowship that's talking about him, by participating in the ordinances of the church, by praying to him, he'll prepare you so that you can stand firm.
The Word of God has promised that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Jesus said, in this world you shall receive tribulation. And so, as we give thought to our own lives, tonight we must be willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he will lead us, and to be willing to pay whatever price is necessary to be loyal to him, to not be fair-weathered, candy-legged soldiers of the cross who can only follow the Lord in good times and who can only follow the Lord when the sun is shining and when everything is going right in my life. The reality, the acid test is when tribulation comes and when persecution comes, is my faith real in the Lord Jesus Christ?
If you want to be ready for tomorrow, grow in grace today.
We need to ask ourselves, am I willing to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ if it should come even unto death? The Lord gives a greater grace. And there is a sense in which if we were to be asked to die for the Lord 5 years from now, and you say, I don't know that I can now. Well, I want to tell you, when the time comes, he will give you what you need. He will give you the grace that you need when the time comes.
Don't panic about that. But in the meantime, prepare yourself for that. Recognizing ultimately, and this is something that I think we can appreciate now, because we may not be threatened with our lives now, but it's starting to feel a little different out there, isn't it? Perhaps in your workplace, perhaps with your friends, talking about these issues, bringing up certain issues, maybe offering a different opinion about different social issues. You can feel the squeeze to a degree, and we should always remember these things actually are good for us.
I pray that God will use this to bring about a greater maturity and a gravitas about our faith, and that we not be spiritual lightweights like tumbleweeds that are just so easily blown about by one trial to the next disappointment to this, that we would have an anchor for our soul, and that we would have set down deep roots in the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever storm that is that comes against my life, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing.
So what we will do this week, decade, here on Wretched Radio is study some of the men and the women that went before us, because remember, we can be encouraged when we study those who have gone before us and how they endured.
Compared to what we're going to look at, you've never had a bad day. And you need that perspective, because we can have a fainting fit over what is relatively nothing. And yes, our trials are real, but we need to keep the perspective. We need to keep an eternal perspective. And by looking at the martyrs in their death and comparing what I am going through with what they experienced, it will keep my eyes on the Lord and not on myself.
Well, there's another benefit in studying these people. It kind of gives you a perspective on your circumstances today. As Steve Lawson just rightly said, they're real. No, nobody's minimizing that. But by comparison, so many of the things that we have a tendency to squawk about, really? The word that I keep hearing used these days, stressed. I'm so stressed. I'm stressed about everything, just stress. And it seems it's almost a ticket these days. If I slap down the stress card, it gives me permission to have a sour attitude, to be kind of the party pooper, to be somebody who just doesn't want to participate. I'm just stressed. I'm just stressed. It gives us permission to be lazy. I can't take out another thing. I'm just so stressed. All right, some of those things might indeed be challenging, but a perspective check will help us to realize that what we are facing, it ain't nothing compared to what the Marian martyrs faced, nor was it nothing compared to what Jesus himself faced, who in the face of his own persecution and death was worrying more about the disciples than himself when he said on the night he was betrayed, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Good way to get through anxiety, by the way, is indeed doing just that, focusing on others. We'll focus on the Marian martyrs as we celebrate Reformation Century here on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for being here. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And a big thank you to our gospel partners for Road Trip to Truth. Our new video series hosted by John Fabares to reach out to this younger generation is almost ready. Road Trip to Truth heads out on the road, visiting college campuses, talking with the students there about the tough issues that they struggle with, and sharing the gospel with them. It's a great opportunity to help you understand better this younger generation and how to share your faith with them. And it's all thanks to the amazing generosity of our Wretched Monthly Gospel Partners. If you are able, would you consider joining us as a Gospel Partner? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Because honestly, the more you give, the more we are able to just give away. wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
When you sponsor a Tomorrow Club for $30 per month in Eastern Europe, you are writing stories like this.
Vova and Maxim, one is 11, another 13, they're brothers. Both of them smoke like crazy, so when they joined Tomorrow Club, they would just make noise and kick other kids around. That winter, the father left the whole family without wood for the furnace, so they could freeze to death, and without food. So the leaders came and actually brought the wood to the family and fixed the things that they were broken in the home. So the boys saw what happened. They got saved, and the change in their attitude and behavior is just immense.
$30 per month, you'll be discipling 30 Eastern European kids in far-flung and very poor villages in Eastern Europe, and so much more. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
60 to 80% of our youth are leaving the nest, flying off to university, and abandoning their faith. Wretched wants to reach these kids with the gospel by distributing 1 million copies of our evangelistic resource, What Time is Purple, on university campuses around the country. If you are a ministry or a church group, we'd love to send you a whole bunch of copies. Just contact Al Yerkes, al@wretched.org, for more information. If you want to give out What Time is Purple on your own, visit wretched.org/purple for free copies. You know, it's only with your support of Wretched that we can do things like this. If you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. Please know we are very grateful. And if you're not, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis? Go to wretched.org/donate for details on becoming a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. And to give out copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, go to wretched.org/purple, and let's reach millennials together.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre.
One genre we find in Scripture is gospel. The Gospels are four complementary narrative accounts of the same story from a different perspective with a different emphasis. God delivers his timeless truth through a multitude of witnesses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We interrupt our focus on the Marian martyrs for a breaking news story far more important. Kanye West. This is Wretched Radio. Kind of a hot subject these days, isn't he? Been receiving an awful lot of emails, an awful lot of stories, and I have to confess to you, I've read the headlines to them, didn't dive in, because I hope that Kanye West, like anybody, gets saved. My only encouragement, especially to the people who sent me emails saying, why do I hate Kanye? I don't hate Kanye West. I hope he gets saved. I hope his whole family gets saved. I hope everybody gets saved that lives near him. I hope everybody in the state of California gets saved. That's right, I said California. I hope everybody in the West Coast, Portlandia, nothing against Kanye West. My only hope is that we evangelical Christians won't try to lift him up to turn him into something he's not qualified or prepared for. This man, by his own profession, is a new believer. Let's pray that he is. That would be a wonderful thing. We'll see how God uses that. But let's just be patient and just watch and see. When we read something encouraging, it can be okay. My encouragement to Mr. West, if he's listening, wow, I would encourage you. I would imagine, sir, I don't live in your $3 billion empire world. I can only imagine the challenges that he's got going on at home. Can you? I can. In fact, okay, here's one story. Kanye West blocked, quote, blocked daughter North from wearing makeup and crop tops now that I'm a Christian. Well, okay. He's got that to work out and a lot of other things. Rather than putting pressure on him, I understand he's getting invited now to preach at mega churches. He's getting invited by high-profile professing Christians anyway to do this or that. He should just be in his church, getting discipled by his pastor, the elders, the fellow Christians that are there, working on issues that have got to have some rather big, complex challenges to them. And then in X number of years, kind of let him and his local pastor with his local church figure that out. But let's not prop somebody up yet who's just not prepared when, wow, I would think the priorities at home and the issues that he's got going on at home have got to be absolutely staggering. So for the record, don't hate the Kanye. Just don't think that it's a good idea for we evangelicals to be putting him in a position that most likely won't help him and could prove problematic in the future. One additional note on the Kanye, if I could, and this has less to do with Kanye and more to do with you, sir, and an issue that the church should be speaking about more than it already does. That is the issue of pornography. He said Playboy was his gateway into full-blown pornography addiction. My dad had a Playboy left out at age 5. Nice work, Pops. And it affected almost every choice I made for the rest of my life. With God, I've been able to beat things that had full control of me. Well, that's super cool. This is a reminder that pornography, it does not discriminate. You can have everything in the world that the world system tells you that you are supposed to have, and it will not satisfy. Never does. It can't. You can have $3 billion. You can have a celebrity family. You can lead a celebrity lifestyle. You can have a beautiful wife and kids. Pornography, the deceitfulness of sin, it will get a hold of you and it will lie and it will lie and it will lie and it will lie. And this is a reminder that what the world has to offer people that makes them happy never satisfies, can't. It's unable to. The noetic effect of the fall, our brains are bent toward that though, aren't they? That we, our default thinking position is not godliness. It's worldliness. And this is a demonstration of that. The world gave him everything that any man could long for. And yet he's watching images on a computer screen? That's because the world system is predicated on lies, lies, nothing but lies. Speaking of which, if you get a chance, I do believe that it's Saturday, November 9th. If you're anywhere near Atlanta, I'll be at Crabapple First Baptist Church, and we're going to be talking about on Saturday night, we're going to be talking about lies and how the world system lies and how our brains, because of the fall, are bent toward believing lies. Remember, that's the first scene that we see in the garden, isn't it? It's a battle of truth versus lies. The devil, who runs the world system, lied. And we're clearly bent to believe them. And we do. And so if you're offered something sinful versus something godly, your flesh is more inclined to go, give me the fleshly thing, to believe the lie. Kanye did. He had everything, which also, by the way, was another lie. You got all this stuff, you're going to be happy. In fact, hold on a second. In my little Philo lies here.
I've
got a file of lies. That's what we talked about. I think the last time we talked about lies and how they don't deliver, it was in a category. The world, here's what the world tells you will make you happy. Money will make you happy. Glamorous lifestyle will make you happy. Glamorous job will make you happy. If you have the right school or the right history or the right career, well, then you're really special. Clearly, wasn't working for Kanye, and it won't work for anybody because these are all lies. Another category of lies, if you will, that people tend to buy these days that end up in big disappointment, it's the world system, not epistemology. What's our manology, anthropology? Believe in yourself. You believe in you. You can do anything you set your mind to. You're amazing. That's a world system lie. Your truth is your truth. Postmodernism. The whole world's, it's just a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. And it ultimately ends in disappointment. Crabapple First Baptist, we'll be talking about that on Saturday night. Sunday morning, I do get to teach Sunday school and preach from their pulpit on this subject, how the devil uses the world system to lie, which leads to devastation. That's what we see in the garden, isn't it? And he continues that pattern to this day as the father of lies, who loves to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to take a look at an application of that as we make our way through some of those lies. And then we will see how the Bible remedies thinking. It straightens out the crooked. God is never depressed, suicidal, never. And until our thinking is in alignment with his, we won't be thinking the same way. The more we think like him, the more our emotions get righted. Be talking about that November 9th. I think you can find information about that on the website, wretched.org, wretched.org. Back to persecution, however. Not just the Marian martyrs. If you want signs of the times, Tony, I don't know if you reported this story. Chinese authorities demolish megachurch, arrest pastors. Yeah. Adam Ford's new website, Discern, DISRN.com, kind of a Christian news site. No legal papers ordering the church's demolition were provided, but government officials tore it down last week, even though it was a part of the country's officially recognized church network. Communism, atheism, tearing down a church. It's happening. It's happening right now in Syria. Right now, the number one demographic that is persecuted are Christians. Milder form, Chick-fil-A, and opened up in Great Britain. Going to be closing. They announced they're closing after opening up 8 days ago. Why? Protests that they're haters. We look to introduce new concepts for our customers. However, we've decided on this occasion the right thing to do, is to only allow Chick-fil-A to trade with us for the initial 6-month pilot period and not to extend the lease any further. Why? Because the LGBTQXYZ folks, they said they're haters and they're awful. So they respond by hating and being awful. That irony aside, modest form, but nevertheless, this is Northern Ireland changing right before their eyes. Abortion restrictions overturned after lawmakers failed to assemble on Monday to block laws passed on its behalf by the United Kingdom. Northern Ireland, now pro-abort. And the Christians there are going, whoa, 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 whoa. They were imposed without the consent of the people of Northern Ireland. Why? Because the pagans will do whatever they want to do to get whatever it is that they want. It happened during the time of the Marian martyrs. It can happen to us. It happened throughout church history. It can happen to us. It most certainly happened to Jesus and the disciples. It can most certainly happen to us. Let's pray that it doesn't, but in the meantime, let's get ready in case it does by studying Jesus in his word. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.